Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Ityatmanam Samadhisya. Garge cha svagriham gate. Nandak pramudito mene. Atmanam punamasisham. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Ityatmanam Samadhisya. Garge cha svagriham gate. Nandak pramudito mene. Atmanam purnam asisam. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Ityatmanam Samadhisya. Garge cha svagriham gate. Nandak pramudito mene. Atmanam purnam asasham. Vaishnavis. Shisuka Uvacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Iti thus, Atmanam, about the absolute truth, the supreme soul, Samadhisya, after fully instructing, Garge, when Gargamuni, Cha, also, Svagriham, to his own abode. Gate had departed. Nandaha, Maharaj Nanda, Pramuditaha, became extremely pleased. Mene, considered. Atmanam, his own self. Purnam Asisham, full of all good fortune. Translation. Srila Shukadev Goswami continued, after Gargamuni, having instructed Nanda Maharaj about Krishna, departed for his own home, Nanda Maharaj was very pleased and considered himself full of all good fortune. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Krishna is the super soul, and Nanda Maharaj is the individual soul. By the instructions of Gargamuni, both of them were blessed. Nanda Maharaj was thinking of Krishna's safety from the hands of demons like Putana and Sakatasura. And because he possessed such a son, he thought of himself as most fortunate. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kitamayam Datati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I first ask for the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, so that I may speak properly on Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta as handed down to us by Srila Prabhupada. So we are continuing with the pastime of Gargamuni, coming to Vrindavan, instructing Nanda Maharaj about Krishna. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks, in the verse and purport, talks about how Nanda Maharaj considered himself to be full of all good fortune. Srila Prabhupada said he thought of himself as most fortunate. So what does it mean to be fortunate? Many people in this world, they think to be fortunate means to have a lot of wealth, means to have a lot of possessions, means to have a lot of physical things that give us pleasure around us. We see that in this somewhat holiday season that most of the time people are very stressed out because they're trying to obtain material objects either for themselves or for others. Black Friday to Christmas, people are trying to save their money, trying to shop as much as they can in this consumer society that's been established. And so people think that to be fortunate in this world is to have a lot of opulence, and to have a lot of sense gratification. And we're in this society from birth. We're conditioned by this celebrity society, the celebrity civilization, where there's people that are above us. They have more wealth They have more fame. They have more power. And our goal in life is to become like them. That's the goal of the human life, is to become a celebrity. But most of the people, they won't be celebrities, and they're struggling so hard. So in this material life, it's a lot of struggling, a lot of trying to just get ahead in this so-called failed American dream. But we see that through the scriptures and through the sadhus, that to have real fortune means to come to the platform of devotional service, of understanding who we are as an individual soul and our relationship with this material world, our relationship with God, our relationship with other jivas and the energies of God, sambandha gyan. So through the shastras, through the sadhus, we learn that there's higher aspirations in this life, not to just be a consumer slave, but to actually get out of the rat race and to understand that our pleasure is not in the material world, but in the spiritual world. And so devotional service, when one practices pure devotional service, at the beginning there's kleshagni. There's the, what you can say, freedom from suffering. In this material world, there's usually three types of sufferings, adiatmika, adibhautika, and adidaivika. Adiatmika comes from oneself, from one's mind. We can see in our daily lives, our minds are running around and are not our best friends. And so sometimes we suffer because of our mind, adiatmika. We suffer because of ourselves. Adibhautika, we suffer from other living entities, right? Somebody comes up to us, they're having a bad day, they want us to also have a bad day, or we see that there's war and so many different things that are happening in this world due to jivas interacting with other jivas. Then adidaivika, where there's tornadoes, hurricanes, storms, there's all this different suffering happening. And our Sridhar Swami, who's passed away, he used to say that in this world, pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. I always felt like this, wow, this is such a huge point. Pain is inevitable. There's always going to be pain, but suffering is optional. So with devotional service, at the beginning it says kleshagni. One will be free from suffering because you will be connecting with devotional service, which is full of bliss at every step. At every step there's bliss in devotional service when you're taking shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. In the beginning of devotional service is to take shelter of a Guru. So to be really fortunate, says Tasmad Gurum Prapadyete Jigasu Surya Uttama. One wants to really take advantage of this human life and engage in devotional service, first one has to surrender to a guru who's conversant in the shastras, who has seen the absolute truth. Tad vidi prani patena pariprashnena sevya upadekshanti te gyanam ganinas tatva darshanaha. So Krishna states that one should take shelter of a spiritual master, one who has seen the absolute truth. And so Garga Muni, in this particular lila, he's playing the role of a sadhu, of a guru. And so it says here, after Garga Muni, having instructed Nanda Maharaj about Krishna, so Nanda Maharaj became very pleased and considered himself full of all good fortune, understanding his relationship with his son Krishna. And so we, Brahmanda Brahmate Kone Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij, to enter into devotional service, to place within our heart this Bhakti Lata Bij, this creeper of devotional service, we have to take shelter of a guru. This is the first step in devotional service, and it's very important. And we see that Krishna himself, by his own example, took shelter of a guru, Sandipani Muni. And something that I've been meditating on after going through Srimad Bhagavatam again, in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada makes a powerful statement about Srimad Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is, the majority of it is the pastimes of Krishna. And even the other pastimes, sometimes it's hard for us to really connect with them because it seems like it happened so long ago. It happened in ages when the world was much different, the people were much different. And in the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that in the modern age, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached the Srimad Bhagavatam by practical demonstration. It is easier to penetrate into the topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam through the medium of Sri Chaitanya's causeless mercy. Therefore, a short sketch of his life and precepts is inserted herein to help the reader understand the real merit of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's easier to penetrate the topics of the Srimad Bhagavatam through the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. But he's giving us devotional service in a very demonstrative way. He's Krishna who is playing the role of a devotee. And so by going through the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, we can enter into the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also took shelter of a guru. His guru is named Ishvara Puri, and his life is very instructive for sadhakas. Ishvara Puri's life is very instructive for sadhakas. Sadhakas wanting to perform sadhana. So Ishvara Puri, he was a disciple of Sripad Madhavendra Puri, who is the first personality to display ecstatic devotional service. And in the pastimes of Madhavendra Puri and Ishvara Puri, during the end of Madhavendra Puri's life, he displayed this pastime of seeming very diseased and ill. We know that this is a pastime. It's not that Madhavendra Puri was actually diseased, but having a transcendental body, he was seemingly in a distressed condition of disease. And so Madhavendra Puri, he had two very renowned disciples, Ishvara Puri and Ramachandra Puri. Ishvara Puri would go every day to serve his spiritual master. He would talk to him about Krishna. He would help him dive into the topics of Krishna consciousness. But also he would menially serve his guru by cleaning up the urine and the stool, because Madhavendra Puri was bedridden. And so he would come and he would personally clean the body of his spiritual master and take care of him in so many menial ways. And Madhavendra Puri, in his ecstasy, he would cry out, very famous verse, but he would cry out, "Where is the son of Nanda Maharaj? Where is Krishna? Where is that land of Mathura?" And his other disciple, Ramachandra Puri, hearing his spiritual master speak these ecstatic devotional sentiments, he thought to himself, "Why is my guru speaking like this? Why is he lamenting? Why is he lamenting like this? He should be Brahman realized. He should be above all this lamentation, this distress. He should be Brahman realized." So he started to say to his spiritual master, to instruct his spiritual master. Rather than serve his guru, he tried to instruct his spiritual master. And by trying to instruct his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri said, "Get out of here. I don't even want to see your face." Because he couldn't understand the devotional sentiments of his spiritual master. So Ramachandra Puri was kicked out of the association of his guru. Whereas Ishvara Puri, who was trying to serve his spiritual master and trying to understand his lamentation was actually devotional ecstasy. He was given all blessings by Madhavendra Puri. And by his service and by the mercy of his spiritual master, he then became the so-called guru of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Ishvara Puri came to Navadvipa, he tried to hide himself at first. Advaita Acharya was doing puja. And Ishvara Puri, he came in, sat inside, not wanting to interrupt Advaita Acharya's puja. But Advaita Acharya, he could understand, oh, here's a great Vaishnav by his effulgence. Vaishnavs, they can actually not hide themselves from other Vaishnavs. And so Ishvara Puri, he came to Navadvip, and he would teach Gadadhar Pandit and others from his book, Sri Krishna Lilamrita. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, playing the role of a grihastha, invited this sadhu to come to his home, take prasadam, get his mother cook for him. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established a relationship with Ishvara Puri, and Ishvara Puri said, oh, I know that you're a great scholar of grammar. I want you to go through my book, Krishna Lilamrita, and find any mistakes and edit them. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this is a great offense, that if I go through your book, whatever a pure devotee writes, it's pure, it's on Krishna, there's no faults. And Ishvara Puri said, no, go through my Krishna Lilamrita to see if you can find any mistakes. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that night, he went through his book and he found mistakes. The next day he went to Ishvara Puri to show him the mistakes that he had found. And Ishvara Puri, you could see that this is the so-called testing of the spiritual master and the disciple. That spiritual master has to test the disciple to see if the disciple is ready for initiation. But the disciple should also, in his own way, try to figure out if his guru is a bona fide guru. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed him the mistakes, and Ishvara Puri defeated Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, actually, no, these are not mistakes. And he showed how they're correct. And so, seemingly, the devotee defeated Krishna. So they had this relationship, and later on, he took initiation from Ishvara Puri at Gaya when he went to perform Shraddha for his father. And so even in the later pastimes of the devotees in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narottam Das Thakur, he's a great soul. Even from birth, it seems, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when they were in one river named Padmavati River, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started crying out, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. And all the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were wondering, who is this Narottam, Narottam that the Lord keeps crying about? So later on it's revealed that Narottam Das Thakur, he took birth. He was a great personality from birth. But even he understood the necessity of taking shelter of a spiritual master. So when Narottam Das Thakur went to Vrindavan, he knew that his guru was Lokanath Swami. Lokanath Swami was actually the first personality that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had sent to Vrindavan. Lokanath Swami and Bhugarbha Goswami, they were actually associates of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvipa, and they were sent to Vrindavan by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they're the first personalities to be sent to Vrindavan. Lokanath Swami and Bhugarbha Goswami, they were tasked by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to find the hidden holy places there and to wander around Vrindavan. So Lokanath Swami, he knew that he was actually supposed to give Narottam Das Thakur initiation through the guidance of Super Soul, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, he fell into such separation that he was just weeping in ecstasy every day in separation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Narottam Das Thakur, he came to Vrindavan, he fell at the lotus feet of Lokanath Swami, knowing that this is my guru, I have to take shelter of him. But Lokanath Swami, in his separation from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, oh, I'm not going to take any disciples. So he told Narottam Das Thakur, I will not initiate you. And he left. But Narottam Das Thakur, he knew that this is my guru. How am I going to take shelter of him further? How am I going to take initiation from him? So there was a place where Lokanath Swami would go to take care of his body in the evening. So he would go take care of his body and he would leave. And Narottam Das Thakur, in the mood of Ishvara Puri, he would go and he would clean the area. Said that he would rake the area, clean up the whole place, make it very nice for Lokanath Goswami. And so Lokanath Goswami, he would come at every night and he started noticing, wow, this place where I take care of my body, it's being maintained, it's being taken care of. Who is doing this? And so one night he found Narottam Das Thakur, who, going backwards, Narottam Das Thakur is actually the son of a king. And so Narottam Das Thakur, even though he's the son of a king, he was going to the place where the sadhu was taking care of his body and cleaning it in service that he would recognize his menial service and give him shelter. So Lokanath Goswami saw Narottam Das Thakur doing this and he immediately embraced him with love because he saw the menial service. And so when we're taking shelter of great souls, we should try to serve them. Sometimes in these days, taking a spiritual master, it's, oh, this famous spiritual teacher, I'll take shelter of him. He'll give me initiation, and then afterwards, I'll just hang his picture on the wall, and, you know, oh, he's my guru, and I'm connected with him, but there's no real service to the spiritual master, or service to the spiritual master's teachings. And we have to be very careful of this in our spiritual life, that we never take our spiritual master for granted. There are connection to the Guru Parampara, and ultimately to Krishna, who is the original Guru. And so our good fortune, when it states here, Nanda Maharaj very pleased and considered himself full of all good fortune, our good fortune is Srila Prabhupada's mercy. It was one time asked how we are so fortunate, and Srila Prabhupada said that he has created our good fortune. So all of us here, we're here because of Srila Prabhupada coming to the West, sacrificing so much, being inspired by his guru to come and give Krishna consciousness to the whole world. And when we read the life of Srila Prabhupada and hear from devotees how Srila Prabhupada was doing such amazing service, and he created our good fortune. So our good fortune is reading Srila Prabhupada's books, serving in Srila Prabhupada's temples, associating with Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Our good fortune is to really take shelter of Krishna consciousness, not take it for granted, which I often do, but all of you remind me nicely not to take it for granted. So I'll stop here if there's any questions or comments. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Pain and suffering again. Pain is what?
Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional.
Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional.
Thank you. Really cool. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Prabhu, there's something black all over the...
Yeah?
Yeah, there's like these little... It's like ashes or something on here.
Thank you, Baba. Sorry for the confusion. That's just the way it rippled down. But since you're such a... I always say, putting your mouth away from the glass. Because I always say, but thankfully, there was something to put the mouth up. Sit down there.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it.